Gospel of John, chapter 10. The verses we would like to consider this morning with the Lord's help are verses 27 and 28. The Lord Jesus, of course, is speaking. The Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Because they possess similar characteristics, it is very obvious where the Lord Jesus did not hesitate to liken His people to sheep. The likeness is very profound when we consider what the Lord has in His Word said about sheep and about His people. You see, first of all, that we are like sheep because it is in our nature to roam. If sheep are not fenced in, they will roam and go astray. The Apostle Peter recognizes this, for he said in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 25, "For ye were as sheep going astray." And of course, the prophet Isaiah has told us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, just like sheep. They will go their own way. Like sheep it is in our nature to go astray. We know the Lord has fenced us in. He has fenced us in with His laws and His commandments. Just like disobedient sheep, we have broken through that fencing that we might go our own way. Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3 is a description of us and our days when we were unconverted, when we were going astray. We set ourselves against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." That's what we did. We broke the bands, the cords of God's law and commandments, in order that we might go our own way. When did we acquire this roaming, rebellious nature? It was inherent from the day we were born. Psalm 58, verse 3. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray." They go astray when? "As soon as they be born, speaking lies." They go astray. We went astray from the moment we were born, speaking lies. Never have to teach a child to tell lies. It's in that child's nature. It was in our nature as children. It was in our nature to go astray. The psalmist again recognized this rebellious nature. Psalm 119, verse 176. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." Yes, the psalmist speaks about the sheep going astray, and having gone astray, that sheep is lost. It now speaks to us not only of the sheep that roams, but the sheep that is ruined. For the sheep that goes astray and is lost, it's ruined. A wayward roaming sheep cannot find its way back home again. It's impossible. What's more, a sheep that has gone astray has no desire to find its way home again. It will go astray and continue to go astray without ever thinking about seeking a way back home. That is an exact picture of you and I. For when we broke through the bands of God's law and commandments and were determined to go our own way and go astray, we had no desire to seek our way back home. Our first parents broke the bands asunder. Our first parents broke through that hedge that had been set up around them by God. Once they broke through and went astray, we like sheep followed them. We are a wayward people. And have a wayward nature. We have no desire and had no desire to find our way back home to the fold of God. We're lost and ruined. If we could not find our way back home and had no desire to find our way back home, we were lost. Therefore, ruined. Only one hope for us. We needed to be rescued. Rescued like the lost sheep. The Lord Jesus told the story of the shepherd who had 100 sheep. 99 were safely gathered into the fold, but one sheep was missing. One sheep was lost. And the shepherd did not rest until he found that one sheep, put it upon his shoulders, brought it home rejoicing. The sheep had been rescued. And glory to God, our chief shepherd, according to his matchless grace and mercy, came into this world, what to do? To seek and to save that which was lost. Came seeking for the lost sheep. Quoting Peter once again, 1 Peter 2, verse 25, for we were a sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. But for Christ, our chief shepherd, but for Christ, the Good Shepherd, we never would have returned. We never would have found our way back home. Now, the Lord Jesus, at the Feast of Dedication, once more speaks about his people being like sheep. And he addresses the Jews. And he says unto them, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They are my sheep. And I want us to consider this morning what we are to Christ, what we mean to Christ. He is the chief shepherd, and we are his sheep. What do the sheep mean to Christ? First of all, let us consider the shepherd and the purchase. His purchasing his sheep. It was when he was at Jerusalem for the Feast of the Dedication that the Jews came to him and said, If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 24, the Lord Jesus replied by saying, I told you, and you believe not. I told you I was the Christ, but you didn't believe me. The Lord then informs them why they do not believe. Look at verse 26. But ye believe not because. Ye believe not because. Ye are not of my sheep. You don't belong to me. You're not of my fold. You're not the sheep of my pasture. That's why you do not believe I am Messiah. I am the Christ. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And the Lord then goes on to say, My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. The Lord Jesus describes us as His sheep. My sheep hear my voice. The Lord was telling the Jews, you don't belong to me. You're not my sheep. Let me tell you about those who do belong to me. Let me tell you about those who are my sheep. And as the sheep of the Lord, we belong to Christ. He says, My sheep. That indicates we belong to Christ. Before a shepherd makes his purchase, he will, of course, go and inspect the sheep that he's about to purchase. He will cast an eye over them. And then he will proceed to purchase those sheep. So we are the Lord's sheep because He chose us to be His sheep. We ask the question then, when did He choose us to be His sheep? Did He choose us to be His sheep when He saw us on our knees that day, that hour? When He saw us on our knees in repentance at the cross, did He say, There, I'll choose that person to be one of my sheep? No. Chose us before that. Did He choose us to be His sheep when we began to mend our ways and reform? No, He chose us. Did He choose us to be His sheep when He saw us reading the Bible and attending the house of God and attending to the preaching of the Word? No, He chose us before that. Did He choose us to be His sheep when He saw us sitting in Sabbath school around the knees of the teacher? Teaching us about Jonah and about Abraham and about Daniel? Did He choose us then to be His sheep? No. Chose us to be His sheep long before that. Or did He choose us to be His sheep when He saw us come into this world and lie there in the arms of our mother? Did He choose us then to be His sheep? Because like Moses, He perhaps saw us as a comely child. No. He chose us long before that to be His sheep. So when did the great shepherd and the bishop of our souls choose us to be His sheep? We will let Paul tell us. And we will say to the Apostle Paul, what sayest thou? When did God choose us to be His sheep? We give ear to what Paul says. Paul answers, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's when He chose us to be His sheep. Before the foundation of the world. Before He chose the stars and put them in their places, He chose us to be His sheep. Before He chose the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, He chose us to be His sheep. Before He chose the colors of the rainbow, before He chose the flowers for Eden's garden, before He chose the cattle for the hills and the beasts of the forest, before all these things, He chose us to be His sheep. Before the foundation of the world, He chose Reggie Cranston to be one of His sheep. That's why the Lord Jesus says in verse 27, "My sheep, I'm one of the Lord's sheep." We've asked the question, when? We ask another question. The question is, why? Why did He choose us to be His sheep? Why? A question that has been asked 1,000 times. And if we lived for another 10,000 years, we still would be no nearer the answer. It is beyond the ken of Solomon. We can ask Solomon, "Solomon, why did the Lord choose you and I to be His sheep?" That wisest of all men could not give an answer. It's beyond the ken of Solomon. It's a too deep of a matter for Apollos to fathom. Needn't seek an answer from the angels. For if we could interview every one of them, they would reply, "His ways are past finding out." Why would God choose us so unattractive, so unloving, so unlovable, so unlovely? Why? Why would He choose us to be a sheep? When we consider the words of Isaiah, as he describes the sinful man, Isaiah says, "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." In other words, in the eyes of God, we're nothing more than a running sore. And yet, God chose that running sore to be one of His. Only one word that comes to mind. There is only one word that may be able to cover all our queries and all our questions. That one word as to why God chose us to be His sheep. The word that comes to mind is the word. How else might this mystery be explained? Grace is the word that may help us to understand it. Paul trumpets that word when he speaks about what the Lord had done in choosing him as one of his sheep. He uses the word grace. He exalts the grace of God. For he says in Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Mark the words. According to the good pleasure of his will, not ours. Remember, we're the lost sheep. We have gone astray. We have no desire to return home. The shepherd must leave the ivory palaces of glory, and he must come into this hostile world and seek for his sheep, those sheep that he chose in him before the foundation of the world, according to the good pleasure of his will. Our wills have nothing whatsoever. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Why, oh why, were we chosen to be the Lord's sheep? Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Let us sing it out. Let us shout it out. To the praise, to the glory of his grace. Unmerited favor. We didn't deserve to be chosen. We didn't deserve to be brought into the Lord's fold. We don't deserve to be the sheep of his pasture. It's according to the good pleasure of his will. It's all of grace. That's why Paul says, yes, are you saved? Through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast, it's all of grace. So we belong to Christ. That then leads us to consider the fact that we were bought by Christ. The Lord says, my sheep. A shepherd may look out into a field that's filled with sheep, and he can say, those sheep are my sheep, because I have bought them and I have paid for them. They're mine. I paid the price that was demanded, and they're my sheep. Jesus Christ paid the price that was demanded. Therefore, we are now his sheep. And this is something the Lord Jesus emphasizes again and again in this chapter. The fact that he bought the sheep with his own life, he repeats it again and again, 5 times no less. The Lord tells us that he laid down his life for the sheep. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's the price that he paid. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He said it again. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And then again he says, I have power to lay it down. 5 times. The Lord tells us that He laid down His life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus laid down His life. That verse 11 says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That tells me something. That tells me that the Lord Jesus paid the price willingly. The good shepherd gave his life. Wasn't taken from him. He wasn't robbed of his life. He didn't die as a martyr. He gave his life. And if he gave his life, that speaks to us of his willingness. There was no haggling over the price. The Lord said, whatever the price is and what is demanded, I will pay it. There was no dispute about the value of the sheep. The Lord Jesus simply said, I am willing to pay the price that's demanded. There was no argument about the condition of the sheep. If all these things were taken into consideration, Christ, our good shepherd, never would have paid the price. Because we weren't worth the price. We weren't worth it. The Lord would have been as well just turning His back upon us and saying, oh sheep, they're not worth it. But He didn't do that. And He says, I'm willing to pay. There was no forcing the buyer into a deal. A deal that he did not want to make. Instead he said, I'll pay whatever price is demanded. And I will do it willingly. And there in verse 17 he says, I lay it down of my wasn't coerced into it. Wasn't forced into it. I lay down my life of myself willingly. I'll pay the price that I might take possession of my sheep. O believer, is it possible that one so holy and pure to be willing to die for such sinful, depraved sinners such as we? And yet everything He did, everything He did for us to make us His sheep, He did it willingly. Willingness is stamped on everything Christ did. We see it in His willingness in coming into this world, descending into this world to be a man and a servant. We see it in His willingness, in His desire to do and finish the work the Father had sent Him to do. We see it in His dedication to the cause of rescuing His sheep. We see it in the death, in His death on the cross. I lay down my for my sheep. See His willingness. He paid the price willingly. He paid the price wholly. In its entirety. For what did He say? He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What more could He do? When someone gives their life, it's all that they can do. They can do no more than give their life. And Jesus Christ gave His life. That means He paid the price that was demanded, and He paid the price in full. Completely and entirely. In His death on the cross, He drank the last drop of God's wrath as it was poured out upon sin. He drank that cup to the last drop. He paid the price in full. And when He hung there upon that tree, He gave us all and He gave us everything. He poured out His blood down to the last drop. He paid the price in full. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for Thee. But Thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now. My eye, as I studied this passage, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Therefore doth my Father love me. We might also say, therefore doth my I laid down my life for them. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou, if ever I love Thee. My Jesus, 'tis now. Price that I couldn't pay. We notice also that if we belong to Christ and we were bought by Christ, then we are the beloved of Christ. It says in terms of endearment, my sheep. The fact that the Good Shepherd gave His life for the sheep shows us that we are His beloved sheep. The Father loves the Lord for giving His life. And the Lord Jesus loves the sheep for whom He gave His life. He must love us. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And when Christ laid down His life, we weren't even His friends. We were His enemies. For the soul of the wicked is enmity against God. Now we are the beloved of the Lord. He loves us. Things are very different in this part of the world to what they are in the East, in Bible lands. For when the shepherd would go out and purchase sheep, he would want to know everything about the sheep. And the sheep almost becomes part of his family. And here, the shepherds buy their sheep, but it's just a means to an end. When they sell those sheep, not the same close attachment between the shepherd and the sheep here and what they were, what it is out in Bible land. The she become very dear to the shepherd. The shepherd wants to know all about them, their birthplace and their parentage and all the rest of it. And that's why the Lord Jesus here in this text says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me." I know them. Like the shepherd of the east, Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, knows his sheep. How well does he know us? We could take some time dealing with that matter. How well does he know us? He knows us eternally. Listen to what he said to Jeremiah. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." That's how well he knows us. Knew us before we were born. Well, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's how well he knows us. Our shepherd knows us not only eternally, but he knows us personally. How it impresses us when we meet someone that maybe we only met once or twice in their lifetime, and after a long time we meet them again and we're amazed when they remember our names. That impresses us. Imagine that. That person remembered my name after all those years. The Lord Jesus knows us in a very personal way. He knows us by name. That's how well he knows us. John 10, verse 3, "He calleth his own sheep by name." He also has our names, according to Isaiah 49, verse 16, engraved in the palms of his hands. And as our great high priest, he has our names upon his breastplate. He has our names close to his heart. That's how well he knows. Eternally, personally, and he knows us intimately. How well does the Lord know us? I can look at verses 14 and 15. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." The Lord says, "I know my sheep." Look at verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." How well does he know us? The Lord Jesus knows us as well as he knows his heavenly. And no one knows the Heavenly Father as well as Jesus Christ does. No one knows us as well as Jesus Christ does. Because he knows us with a divine, intimate knowledge. There's nothing but nothing hidden from him. He knows about our troubles. He knows about our tears. He knows about our trials. He knows about our temptations. He knows about our triumphs. I know my sheep. What a wonderful shepherd. Nothing hidden from him. You have the shepherd and the purchase of his sheep. You have the shepherd and the pathway for his sheep. I know, or rather my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's the pathway. They hear my voice, and they follow me. Here we see that the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. For the sheep of the Lord's pasture, what is his voice? His voice is this here, the written word of God. It's the voice of the shepherd to you and I. And my, whenever we hear the word preached, and it's proclaimed, we can say in our hearts, that's the voice of my shepherd. I recognize it immediately as the voice of my Lord, and the voice of my shepherd. The sheep are able to discern the voice of their shepherd. The Lord Jesus says that they will not hear. They will not hear the voice of a stranger. They're able to discern between the voice of their own shepherd and the voice of a stranger or a hireling or a thief, as the Lord describes those individuals here in this chapter. We're able to discern the voice of our shepherd. We know when we hear him. Bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2, said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved. She recognized the voice of her beloved. Believer, when we hear the word, may we hear the voice of our beloved. When God speaks, may we say, God, my shepherd is speaking to me. They're able to discern the voice of the shepherd. As God's sheep, we delight in the voice of the shepherd. We love to hear the voice of the shepherd. The natural sheep are comforted when they hear the voice of their shepherd. To hear the voice of a stranger frightens them. But they delight to hear the voice of their shepherd. John 3, verse 29, the words there of John the Baptist, he that heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. John said, I'm just the friend of the bridegroom. But my, it fills me with joy when I hear the voice of the bridegroom. Therefore, my joy is full. O believer, O dear child of God, when we hear the voice of the Lord, when we hear the word of God, does it fill us with the same joy? Are we able to say the Sabbath day, my joy is full? Because I hear the voice of my shepherd. It delights my soul. And how often in the past have we heard that voice when frightened? We have heard the shepherd's voice and we've been. When we were weak, we heard the shepherd's voice and were strengthened. When we've been discouraged, we've heard the shepherd's voice and we've been encouraged. We can bless the Lord today for giving his ears to hear. Hearing that's tuned into the voice. Sheep also receive the shepherd's voice. The sheep of one shepherd will not receive or accept any other. Verses 4 and 5, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. There it is. Dear child of God, as true sheep of the Lord's pasture and the Lord's fold, may we always have an ear tuned to the voice of our shepherd, because I tell you, there are many strangers about today. And we hear the voice of many strangers, and those strangers are clamoring for our attention. We need to do what the Lord's sheep did here in this passage. We need to flee from strangers. Because if they're strangers, they'll come with strange doctrines, strange ideas, strange ways, and strange teachings. And many a sheep of the Lord has gone astray because they haven't listened to the voice of their shepherd. They've listened to the voice of a stranger. See, the sheep respond to the voice of the shepherd. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The sheep will flee from the voice of a stranger, but they will respond to the familiar voice of their shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. When Isaiah heard a voice, Isaiah said, I heard the voice. I heard the voice of the Lord. He recognized it. He discerned it as the voice of the Lord. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And when we hear that voice, let us say, here am I, Lord. When, like the prophet, we hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. May we discern it as the voice of the shepherd. And may we follow in that way. Even as we often sing, where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain. He may lead me. Let's follow the voice. Notice what the Lord said. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. See what the word does. See what the voice of the Lord does. It leads us to Christ. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The Word of God will never, never lead us to follow anyone else other than Christ. And finally, and very briefly, the shepherd and the preserving of. And I give unto them eternal life. Here we have his gift. I give unto them eternal life. This is in stark contrast to the behavior of the stranger, or the behavior of the hireling, or the behavior of the one the Lord calls a thief. In verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. I give unto my sheep eternal life. There's the gift. The one comes to destroy and to steal and to take away. Jesus says, I have come to give. We rejoice that we have a giving. I give eternal life. It's a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. We didn't gain it in any way. It was given to us as a gift. bought for, paid for. The shedding of our Savior's blood. Not only do you have His gift, you have His guarantee. Why don't we love the words of this text, this guarantee? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. It's a guarantee. There are no ifs or buts, no maybes, no perhaps, but a cast iron, as it were, guarantee. They shall never perish. The word perish means to loose away, or to destroy. Same word is used in verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's the same word. The thief is about this business of destroying or causing souls to perish, the work of the devil. The word also may also be rendered lost. The Lord Jesus in Luke 15, verse 6, tells us, I have found my sheep that was lost. Now the Lord has found His sheep that was lost. Is He going to lose it again? Not on your life. They shall never perish. In that great high priestly prayer, the Lord said to His Father, those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept none of them. Every one of the Lord's sheep will be gathered into the fold. None of them will be lost. The gift, the guarantee, and the greatness. For the Lord says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. You can remove the word man there. We're able to do that. The translators give us permission to do that because the word is in italics. Neither shall any be able to pluck them out of My hand. No man, no demon, no army of demons, no hell, 10,000 hells cannot pluck us out of our Savior. There in the nail-pierced hand of Christ. And He's never lost one. He's almighty, all-victorious, all-conquering. And He is our all in all. He's our good shepherd. And how we love Him today. Dear loving God and gracious Father, we bless Thee and praise Thee for the One who is our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, our great shepherd. And even as we were singing this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou will never abandon Thy sheep. Thou will never forsake Thy sheep. Thou will never leave Thy sheep. And how often, dear Lord, have we heard and discerned the voice of our shepherd. And oh, how comforting that voice has been. Oh, Lord, we pray that all in this house this morning will have heard the voice of the shepherd. We look forward, dear Lord, to hearing Thy voice this evening again. And, oh, gracious Lord, when we hear Thy voice, may we be obedient sheep. And may we follow Thee. We ask Thee, Lord, to write Thy word upon our hearts. Be with us now as we leave the Lord's house. And in Thy will and providence, return us to this place of worship this Sabbath evening, once again to worship Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away.